Okay, Mishnah Hey, Shalosh Imois, three mothers, Aleph Memshin, Benefesh, in the soul, Rosh Beten Ugvio, head, abdomen, and thorax, usually translated as body or trunk, Rosh Nivro Me'esh, the head was created from fire, Beten, the abdomen, from water, Mimayim, Ugvio, and the trunk, the thorax, Meruach, from breath, Machriya Bintayim, tips the balance between them. So this is the Psicha L'Mishnah Hei. Ho'achroin, first we had Oilam, then we had Shono, and now we have Nefesh. We have the space and time, and now we are in the psyche, the soul, the mind. So, what is Nefesh? Nefesh, mashmo so itzmicha. When we talk about soul, really in the bottom line, in the very simplest and most pshat, ordinary level, we mean that thing that is involved in growth, process, evolution, development. V'hito itzuas yisoido esh, and it is a. It comes from a consequence of the element of fire, because everything that changes is really connected to Eish. It has that Eish imperative that we talked about earlier. V'kol halokim hanafshim sheba'odam, and all the spiritual elements that are in a person, shorisham b'moyach, they're in the mind. They're, you know, we talk about the heart, you know, it really, the heart is the seat of bina. And yet, when we were learning about chachma and bina, we talked about the two brain hemispheres, the right and left. And it's very curious that we think of the heart when we talk about, oi, he's got such a kind heart, you know, we think of this thing that is in the chest, right? And we don't really associate it with the mind, right? But really, all our spirit is everything spiritual, and everything that grows and develops is really associated with the head, with the brain that's in the head, and with the mind in the brain. So everything up there is the Yisoid Ho'esh. So, Kan, here, in the second paragraph, Bola Taritz HaKusha, the Mishnah, in this Mishnah, we're coming to answer the question, Shehuk Shebashili Perik Beis, that was asked at the end of the second chapter, Mi Yachriya Ben Yetzer Toiv Le Yetzer Ra? Mi Yachriya Ben Yetzer HaToiv Le Ra? Who or what is going to tip the balance between good and evil? So, in Mishnah Gimel Shanino, in Mishnah Gimel we learned that air, everywhere in Sefer Yetzirah in this chapter, we've learned that air balances water and fire. That you have, on the one side you have Eish, on the other side you have Mayim, and you have Avir Machriya Bintayim. You have heaven and you have earth, and in between it you have the atmosphere that is Machriya Bintayim. So Im Shnei Afechim Shehem Shnei Amudim Gedolim Chatzuvim Me Avir, what do you do if both sides of the scale are actually made from air? Then how do you, what's the machriya? Like if you have water and fire on one side, we have the air, which is machriya. But what happens if on either side you have air? You have this kind of air and that kind of air. How do you have, what is it that balances the scales? What's the fulcrum on which the scales pivot? And earlier in that empiric base, we talked about also Shnei Amudim Gedolim God made two great pillars, may avir shein anitvas, from air that cannot be grasped. Those two columns are the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra, and they're made of air. So now the question is, what is going to be machriya bintayim? V'zeh soid godol, and this is a great mystery. V'hu ma shechidish Rebbe Akiva b'roiv chochmosoi, and this, the answer to this is something that Rabbi Akiva, this is an answer that he developed. V'oman, he said, al toimru mayim mayim. The Gemara Chagiga says, Tonu Rabbonon, the Chachamim were teaching, Arba Nechnesu b'Paradis, four of the Tanoim entered Paradise. V'eluhin, these are the names, Ben Azai, Ben Zoyma, Achiv, Rabbi Akiva. Omer lehem Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva warned them, Kishatim magiim etzel avnei shayish tohor, when you reach those pure marble stones, al toimru mayim mayim, don't say water, water. Mishum shenema doi vishkorim lo yochoin leneged enai, because the pasuk says, whoever speaks lies will not be able to stand in front of me, says God. So if you refer to these stones as water, water, you won't be able to stand because it's not true. So the Ishbitzer explains, we've learned many times, Yesh Maim Tachtoinim Umaim Elyoinim. There's water above the heaven and there's water below the heaven. Ve'ein beinehem loy avi veloy revach veloy cholam. There's no space between the water above the heaven and the water. There's no space, there's no vacuum, there's no emptiness. Kimayim, because as we've been learning, what is mayim? Mayim haynu cheshek. Mayim is, water is desire. Umayim elyoinem, so the waters above the heaven is cheshek toiv, is good desire. Umayim tachtoinem, the waters below the heaven is cheshek ra. So, hakol bidei shemayim, afilu yiras shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, even the fear of heaven. As Eov, as Job argued for God, mi ma'akev al yotcho. Let's have a look at the notes here below the line. So first, I bring the Me'a Shiloyach in note number 50. V'zeh l'shoinoi. U'be'emes, he says, really, to usoy, the mistake of Ben Zoyma. We know that Ben Zoyma went mad, and he never was the same again. He went into paradise in Nifka. He was damaged. So the Ishbitz explains, Hoysama shehisik hevdol godol be'mayim atachtoinim le'mayim elyonim. He sees this big distinction between waters above the heaven and waters below. Kedi'isa b'gemara chagiga, like we learn in the Gemara Sha'oma, ein be'mayim atachtoinim le'mayim elyonim rak kishulosh etzbois. When Reb Shua ben Chananya asks him, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking. Tzoyfer yisi. I'm looking at the distinction between the water above and the water below. So Rabshu says, Hatnu, what do you see? He says, I see three finger breadths. So Rabshu ben Chanani just turns on his heel, walks away. He says, Nah, Adayin ben Zoyim Bachutz. He's still not here. Ben Zoyim is still out of it. Why? He says, because the two lie on each other like blankets. You know, there's no they're different, but there's no distinction between them. There's no, or rather, let's put it another way, there's no space between them. They are two distinct things, but don't think that you can distinguish upper and lower from each other by some kind of a split. They're not split. They're congruent. V'hu hisig hevdol godol ben cheshek ra o ben cheshek toiv. So the Ishbitzer says that Ben Zoyma's error, and it comes from a very profound metaphysical or metaphilosophical stance that he took, is that there's a vast difference between those desires that come up from our abdomen, those desires that arise out of our physical bodies, and those that come down to us from our spirit. And if you look there in the Gilin of the Me'er Shiloch, he goes on and he explains, Inin tu'us shor bezoim eo shema shehisik hafda goda be'maim tachtoim maim elyoinim, ki be'emes, because in truth, the Ishbitzer says, b'shodish echot hem, all desire comes from one source. Ki maim mechune lecheshik, because water is a metaphor for desire. V'hine yesh bo'odem shnei mina tshukus. A person has two different kinds of longings. Echot ma shenitva bo'odem b'tol doisoy. There is the instinctual. There's those desires that are part of our gestalt as humans. Kimavu b'medesh. Sho'olem mole chesodim. The world is full of chesodim, the medesh says. What does it mean? Chesed. The beginning of chesed is wanting to do somebody a favor. Or in fact, the Torah says, "Oylam chesed yibone." One of the reasons that incest is forbidden, the Torah calls it chesed here. So that at a certain level, the word chesed is a representation of desire. Ubeze yochel lahamtzi tos ki yochel lerachem alachzori. You know, a person may be so filled with the desire for compassion, for example, right? I'm such a compassionate person, I'm so far away from being able to hurt anybody that I'm incapable of being strict, right? So, here's this murderer who wants to kill everybody that I love, but, he caught his finger in the door. So instead of, taking the opportunity to, eliminate him, no, I take care of him because I am the compassionate one, I mean, there's levels of compassion that a person's capable of that make them a bad person, So instead of protecting those I love, I help him on his way because I'm so helpful, right? So there are elements inside us where Even our chesed, our desire to do good, requires some kind of a intellectual basis. Otherwise, if I just go with my instincts, I may end up being compassionate with the wicked, right? On the other hand, when I appreciate what I'm doing and everything that I do is measured, then surely those kind of chasodim, those kind of passions and compassion behavior, it has a much better, a much clearer, much sounder basis. On the other hand, im yechavein odam. So first the Ishbitzer has kind of made a pseudo-intellectual point that even the nicest, even the best of our natural instincts may be, when you think about it, think of a cuckoo, that lays its eggs in another bird's nest, and then the fledglings then push out the real baby birds of the mother, so that they can take all. So the mother bird here, because it's by instinct, it has no choice but to feed every fledgling in its nest, is then feeding this predator that then pushes its own real babies out of the nest, right? So, in a sense, the Ishbitzer is saying, even our most noble natural instincts are capable of being subverted this way, and so the intellect raises the level, raises the bar, and so our intellect makes us more discerning. On the other hand, now he comes and he says, "Faket im yechavein ha'odam b'hachesed shebetivoy." If a person with his instinctual chasodim is mechavein lerotzen Hashem Yisborach, can somehow bring his natural leanings and natural tendencies and natural desires to make them congruent with the will of God, this is still greater than what a person can do with his mind. And שהמים אשם מתחת לאורץ יהללו השם השם כמו שנמה על המים אשם על השמיים. That's why the Pasuk doesn't say, and the waters which are below the earth will praise God, as it says, V'hamayim ashem me'al ha'shamayim, like the waters above the heaven are going to praise God. Why, what about the waters below the heaven? Ki be'emes, he makes a gigantic step. He says, Im yehalalef es Hashem, if your water is praising God, if your desire is praising God, if your mayim is congruent with the will of God, then it's not a lower desire. It's a higher desire. That's water above the heaven, right? So let's say the most, the crudest of desires, the most basic primal, to eat, right? And to couple, right? When we are going with these desires and we are fulfilling these desires, eating or coupling, if we're doing it and what we're doing is Rotzo in Hashem, then that is Mayim Hashem al Hashemayim. Then that is high as the most highest intellectual endeavor. So somebody says, look, eating, it's just a necessity. This is Ben Zoyma. It's just a necessity. There's no way we're ever going to turn eating into a spiritual endeavor, a spiritual principle. And so the desire for eating can never be raised beyond what it is. It's a primal desire. And the Ishbitzer says that's where Ben Zoyma is wrong, because as soon as you're eating and that's the will of God, then that desire is as high. That's Hamayim Hashem al Hashemayim. So when the Torah says that God divided between the waters above and the waters below, that does not mean that they are separated and that they can't touch one another. On the contrary, a desire that you thought was very high can be low, can be waters under the heaven. And the most base desire that you thought for sure, that's the pshat of Mayim Hashem Mitachas HaShemayim. On the contrary, as soon as you're congruent with the will of God, that's already waters above the heaven. Ki be'emes, the Ishbitzer adds, Ma ha'odom, what is man? What could a person possibly, you know, this idea that somehow with our intellect we can build something huge, something great, something imposing and something lasting, you know, to the Ishbitzer, that's a very laughable human vanity. What could we possibly do with our minds that we think is so great? But what we do with our nature, what we do with our instincts, Zehu koyach Hashem Hashemoy, there now we're acting with the godly force that is in us. With our natural instincts, we're working with our creativity. You know, when I do somebody a favor, like, you know, even with my children, right? So I'm a father. I have a natural tendency to be kind to my children. Okay, that's where it begins. So when I take that natural tendency, that natural desire to be kind to my child, and I do something creative, now already, you know, there's a famous, in Lubavitch, there's a Torah, it's called the Hasidish Kiss. Forget which one of the Rebbe's, there was one of the Rebbe's who wanted to kiss his child. I think the Rebbe, one of the early ones, Mittler Rebbe, whatever. He had this, he was suddenly taken with a desire to kiss one of his boys. And then he took that desire and he let it flow through him and wrote a Torah. And then later, when his child was old enough, he taught his child, he said, this is the Torah that came to me from that desire I had to hug and kiss you. Right? It's a very interesting concept, right? That we can take an earthly desire. Personally, when I heard this, I thought to myself, I struggled with it, you know? It's like, who knows what the child might have become had his father actually given him the hug and the kiss at that moment. Who's to say that what he did, it wasn't really a very selfish thing, right? That if he had that passion for the child to hug him and kiss him, he should have done so rather than channel it into an intellectual endeavor. I guess the point is to show us that it could be done, right? That one can take the most basic instinct, the paternal instinct, and turn it into something intellectual, and then it becomes this diamond of Torah. The point is that the instinct itself is divine. It's a part of that God's creativity. And even though you think to yourself, so what? Everybody feels that. You're a parent, you love your child. Well, but everybody feels it in a new way. Everybody feels it in a particular and definite way. And this, Ben Zoyma can't really deal with this idea. He experiences a hefdel godel, a really big a gap between the waters above and the waters below. Be'emes, and then really, lo'osid, in the future, kasha yevara Hashem, when God shows ki hakol me'itoy, that everything was from him anyway. In the future, when God is going to sort of unravel history like this woolen sweater, he's going to start pulling the thread, and everybody's going to be able to see how everything was connected and that really God was in charge all the time. Yisroel mefoirosh, it will become apparent and obvious, that there never was anything separating the waters above and the waters below. And this is the meaning of the Azhara, the warning that Rabbi Akiva gave his colleagues, the Talmid of Kishtagil, La Avne Shaish Tohar, when you reach these pure marble stones, Al Toimru Mayim Mayim, don't say water, water. Ki Ika his here, because the chief warning was Shela Yoimru Shnei Pomim Mayim, not to say twice water. Ki Bishorisham Em Bilti Echad, they're only one. So, in the going back to the text, I said Hakol b'dei shemayim, afilu yira shemayim. Everything is from heaven, even the fear of heaven. And so the way we interact and the way we are moved by our desires is also part of the heavenly plan. K'mo shiton Iyov l'Kodesh Baruch Hu, as Job argued with God, mi ma'akev al yotcho, who's forcing your hand? So let's have a look at the note to this. Note 51, Zagmar and Bava Basra. Omer Rava. Rava said, Bikesh Iyoiv liftoris kala oilam kuloi min adin. Job wanted to exonerate. He wanted to make everybody patur from judgment. Omer Lefonav. He said, Rabboni Shalom, Master of the Universe, Barosu Shoir Prusois Sedukois, you made an ox, it's got these cloven hoofs. Barosu Hamar, you made an ass, Prusois of Klutois, it's got these hoofs, single hoofs. Barosu Gan Eden, you made the Garden of Eden, Barosu Gehenim, you created Gehenim. Barosu Tzadike, you created righteous people, Barosu Rishoim, you created evil, wicked people. Mima'akev al yotcho, who's forcing you to do what you do? Nobody. You do it by choice. Rabbeinu Shalom, you are responsible for everything that happens in the world. I didn't come across anywhere where I went in the world, says Job, that there was a little sticker on a product or something that says, this is yours and I have no part of it. Signed God. Right? There's no such thing. Right? You're in charge of the world. You made him, you made her, you made me, you made them. You know, how can then you come to us and demand that we give din v'cheshbon? You know, where are you in this? You're the one. You mean, you know, why a chamar acts like a chamar? Why an ass acts like an ass? Well, because you made it an ass, you know? And you know why wicked people act wicked? Because you made them. And you made tzaddikim. There's no point in pretending that a tzaddik isn't a tzaddik and a rosh and a rosh. So like, where's, you know, why don't you take responsibility, God? It's a very interesting argument, right? The Rabbi Kiva, shehu b'chinas haruach hamachria, Rabbi Akiva, who is the heir that balances or tips the balance between the two extremes, Masbir, he's the one who explains Eich Shakodesh Baruch Hu Menayeg Olamo B'Yosher, how it is that God is running the world with Yosher. What is Yosher? Yosher is Erlich. Ki Af Al Pi, because even though Shehamayim HaTachtoinim B'chinas Cheshik Ro Einam B'Rishus V'Chira Sa'odan K'mo Shetan Iyem, even though the lower waters, those parts of us which have evil desires, right? And we say, they're not in our control. We're not in charge. God is in charge of the world, right? Like Job is arguing. Aval, Rabbi Akiva l'shitos, Rabbi Akiva is going according to his shito, according to his Weltanschauung, which, as we learned earlier, has a very clear understanding of what happens. Im yesh shnayim akhishim zeh zeh, if you have two verses that contradict one another, yovoy hashlishi v'yachriyo echad bal kocho, then Rabbi Akiva says the third verse doesn't come to make a pshara, to make some kind of a compromise between them. The third verse is going to force the issue one way. Dehainu, tovoy halev, so Rabbi Akiva says if you've got on the one hand you have this desire, on the one hand you're fighting with another desire, tovoy halev shehi soid haruach shebigvio, let the heart, which is the air in the body, right? So we've got the water in the body, in the stomach, we've got the fire in the body, in the head. So let the heart, which is the air in the body, b'tachria, and it forces yisoid amayim b'betin l'kavzuchus, it forces the yisoid, the element of water, which are the desires in the stomach, it forces them l'kavzuchus into the pan of merit. V'eich poyalizis, and how does it go about doing this? Le'isa, we learn in the Gemara Makis, b'derech she'odom roitze leilech bo moilichin oisei. The direction a person wants to go, that's the direction that he gets led. It's a very interesting idea, right? So, I have I'm sorry? Where's the free choice? All right, so let's have a look. Stick with us. The mokim koi omok she'em bo yedea adma. Oh, so where are we? Okay, so the line. O pirush, pirush al pisoid. What's the meaning of this Gemara? B'derech she'odom roitze leilech melichin oisei. The direction a person wants to go, he gets led. She'akudish boruchu mefashbesh uboichin chadrei leif o'odom. God looks into a person's heart. U'mistakel sham. Bo'imik sheboi ho'odom atzmai en yuchel levaritzoine. You know, there's a certain level where we ourselves cannot even really be sure of what our desire is, you know? At a certain level, I have so many conflicting desires. I want to eat this. I want to drink that. Yeah, but I don't want to because I know it's not healthy for me, right? But you know, so how come it's almost guaranteed that I'm going to eat this food, right? That even though on one level I really know it's bad for me and I wish I didn't eat this food, you can predict she's going to eat. It's that piece of cake is in the fridge. He's going to eat it. How come that is? How come the fact that I don't want to, I'm overcome by my desire, right? So how come one person is overcome and one person isn't? So this is the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva, right? He's explaining that God looks into my heart and he says, Heshi, I know what you really want. You want to eat the cake more than you want to be provident in how you eat, right? So that's the derech leilech, that's the road you want to go, so that's the road. So here we are, if you were to ask me, I'd swear blind that really, no, I don't want to eat, you know? But having come through, you know, chemicals and the, you know, addiction to chemicals, I can really understand this, you know. How come I would say to myself, no, even as I'm reaching for the glass to pour myself another glass of wine, I'm saying, no, I don't really want this. So who am I? I'm kidding myself, right? Because the Rabbeinu Shalom is looking at my heart, says Hashi, that's that voice that you're hearing, when I look inside you, it's a very small voice. All the other voices are very loud, and they're saying, yeah, let's have a drink, yeah, let's have a drink, it's a good day, yeah, let's have a drink, it's a bad day, whatever. So God is looking into my heart, even at the level where I can't look. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmai Meid, God is bearing witness, Shasham, that there, in the deepest, in my deepest desire, Rotzoin Hu Amiti Shel Odom, there, this is my true will. U'moylichoi B'derechahu. So God is leading me down that path that I really want to go. Now, im beritzoinoi hachitzoin, if in his outer desires, ha'odam margish tavish ein lekoyach lizgabe olav, right? So let's see, I'm a smoker, I wish I could stop smoking, right? But here I have this box of cigarettes in front of me, and I desperately want it, right? So if in my outer desire, I experience this tava, right, this lust for a cigarette, and I know I don't have the will to overcome the desire. V'raka Kodesh Baruch Hu made olav. But God bears witness sheb'oimik liboy, that in the depth, of the deepest depth, even where I'm not aware, ein zurut soinoi, I really, really, really want to stop using tobacco, az mizgaba al yitzri b'siyata d'shmaya. So then I find myself, something happens, and I'll smoke in 5 minutes, whatever, and the compulsion passes, right? And I find myself, I got through another day without a cigarette. V'im, rachmona l'slan lehefach, and if God forbid the opposite, az lo yizkab, and then I find I'm back smoking again. V'zeh soida rotzen apushet b'odam. And this is where we're talking about the very simple desire of God, right? How the simple desire of God's simple desire flows through creation, and it flows through us, right? Shirak ha'boira oilam, only the Creator, ha'yodeh yitzri ma'alalei ish, made al ha'odam, it's only God who really understands desire, who really knows the feeling of desire, God who is desire, right? It's only God who can bear testimony and say what a person's real desire is. Shaloi ha'lichoi rak b'mokim shirotzen alechet, God can say, he can open me up and show me that I've never been led where I didn't want to go. So now, the question is, what should a person do if they want to do teshuva, right? If I want to choose another way, but I don't find inside myself that I'm being led that way, right? If you say that everything is from heaven, and that even the choices that we make are ultimately in the hand of God, what am I supposed to do when I want to change direction? So listen, as soon as a person starts to ask, what's going on with me? Why can't I make better choices? How come God hasn't found in me an emes desire, let's say, to stop smoking? I keep on saying, I've been saying for 15 years, oh yeah, I've got to stop smoking, and then I put the cigarettes, and then I pick them up again, right? And I say to myself at some point, all right, so let's say I'm a student of Ishbitz, and I believe that HaKoy B'dei Shemaim, Afilu Yir Shemaim, that the choices that I'm making, God is making, because he's looking into my heart, and he sees I don't really want to give up smoking, so Rabbeinu Shel Olam, why don't I really want to give up smoking? Oili mi yotzri, v'oili mi yitzri, woe is to me from my creator, woe is to me from my desire, where I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. As vada yosemim en Hashem izbarach es liboy ha'even. That question itself is enough to trigger a change. V'yitin leiv bosa tachtav, for God to take the heart of stone and put a heart of flesh in its place. V'im einenu moitze ba'atzmai, and if I say to myself, you know why I haven't given up smoking, you know why every time I stop smoking, I start smoking again, because God leads me down the road that I really want to go. But you know something? If I look into myself and I admit that really, I don't want to stop smoking, it's true, Emes, you know why I keep on picking up the drink or the drug, whatever it is? Because I really want to. Then, and if I am honest enough to say, you know, the Emes is, I don't want to give up. But I have charota. I regret not having the true desire. Als lekala pochas nimtza shal, then at least I have that question inside my mind. Lomo ein biyiras chet. Why don't I feel sin? Enochanam yag. You know why I keep going back to this sin? Because I wanna. All right. So I've admitted as much. So then, how do I open an opening? And the question is, I could ask myself the question. The question is already the opening. Oh, if only I was one of those people who really did have an honest desire to stop smoking. You see, I can go deeper. I can admit I don't really want to stop smoking, but I can say, I wish I was a person who wanted to stop smoking. I wish I was one of those people who really do want to stop smoking. And then I say to myself, Heshi, who are you kidding? You know you really don't really want to be. You always wanted to be a smoker because you thought it was romantic. Then I can say to myself, you know, but I wish but you know something? At each level that I feel like I'm getting further away from really wanting to stop smoking, I'm actually getting deeper into where my real desires are, you know, and sometimes the desire is so faint that I don't have a desire. I have a desire. I wish to have the desire. I have a desire to have a desire to have a desire, you know, and then I start to get into like an infinite loop. This is the idea of Ravin de Ravin, the desire for desire, which is where creation comes from. It comes from the desire to create. Before God created the world, He created the desire to create and the desire to have the desire. The Ravin, the infinite loop of desire, which is the source of everything. And I can tap into that even however far away. And even if a person doesn't have the desire to have charot, to regret the bad things, at least he could say, you know, I wish I was that kind of person who has regret for that kind of thing. So what comes out from everything we've said? Shehalev machria, the heart is the decider bin mayim lemayim, between desire and desire. Now let's have a look at here in note number 52, a very similar kind of reading. It comes from the Sefer Oiv Yisroel, from the Heilige Abt, Rav Avrom Yeshua Heschel of Abt, in his drosha there about the Yomim Noiroim. He says like this. The Gemara says, Yotze baskol v'omro shuvu bonim shoivivim chutz me'acher. You know, Acher had a very sweet Talmud. Rav Meir said to him, why don't you do tshuva? He said, you know, once I went, I heard from heaven a voice that said, everybody can repent except for Acher. So what's the point, Meryl? I'm going to do tshuva, it's not going to be acceptable, right? So I'm not going to bother to do tshuva. V'hu t'mia g'doyla. So the Holy Abtah says, this is a very astonishing Gemara. Le'ene kol ba'deya, anybody with any sense has to see that this is a very questionable. Ki hale yudum efursim, everybody knows. It's famous. It's a basic dictum of Judaism. She'en l'chodove ba'olam. There's nothing in the world she'oimed b'fnei ha'tshuva that could stand possibly in the way of doing tshuva. So how could Acher have heard the voice coming out from heaven saying everybody do tshuva except for Acher? Cholil el Hashem yizbarach me'asoyz k'tova hazeh v'lekiyot. Far be it from God, cholil v'chas, that God should do such a terrible thing. Oh, yeah. Anything like it, says the Abtah, to what, reject somebody about tshuva? So the Abtah explains like this. Ochin sher shadov kach. What is it? Migoydo rachme Hashem yizborach shemerachem al kol b'riyosu, because of God's incredible compassion with all His creatures. Begam al achoytim negdo yizborach, even against the most wicked transgressor who mamish is trying to provoke and annoy God. God still is the same compassion that He has with you and me, right? And God has ways and means, stratagems, in order to prevent anybody being rejected. So a person is filled, even the most wicked person gets moments when they think to themselves, what am I doing? those moments when a person is asking himself, what am I doing? Those are messages from God. That's the voice. That voice that goes out every day that says, return children, backsliders, come back to me, right? That is a metaphorical way of saying we all have moments when we ask ourselves, what am I doing? So that voice, that's the voice of God inside us, which is trying to arouse us to fix our life. Or something, event happens very often, something in our life will happen that is so dramatic that it will force us to stop and look at our lives and evaluate and examine. So then the apter says, Ach shekaviyochel eni yochel loy meloy le'elisha ben avu beferish le'oyre sheyoshe betshuva. But Elisha ben Avu has spent so much time provoking God directly, right? And he spent so much time putting down that voice inside him that asks him, where are you going with this, Elisha? What are you doing? Don't you realize where this train of thought is leading you, right? Because the three, Ben Zoima and Elisha and Ben Azai, you know, they haven't been damaged going into paradise because they tripped over a stone or they got knocked on the head. You know, they are damaged because of some metaphysical, or as we said with Ben Zoima, you know, who he sees this chasm, this gap between waters above, the desire above and the desire below, good desire and evil desire. So Elisha ben Avu has also been led into this place, this cul-de-sac, that where his intellectual, dead end, where he either has to throw out one thing or the other, and he ends up throwing away his trust, his faith in God, right? His emunah. But as he's going through this process, he keeps on stilling that voice inside him that says, you know, maybe you want to re-examine some of those basic tenets of your beliefs so that you can get back to the faith that you had. But he doesn't. He quietens it down and he says, nah, it's just rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. So then the apter says, well, after a time, he can't hear that voice anymore that's going out from Sinai that's saying, shuvu bonim shuvuvim, that other people can hear. So God can no longer raise those little voices inside Elisha as he does with other sinnings. Because at that point, the spirit of fairness says, Rabboni Shelolem, come on, you can't, this person has gone past that stage. You know, he's shut down all those voices that you've been trying to awaken him with. You know, you don't have the right to like go and blast him again with another voice because he doesn't want to hear it. That's what he's been shutting down. So that's what the meaning of that baskol is. That voice that Elisha hears, which says, return children, except for Acher. What's the meaning? It's a hint. It's like a nudge, wink, wink. Acha, look, everybody else gets the little voice, but you don't. Do you know why? Right? It's God still getting through to him without getting through to him. It's like, Luchem ani oimer. It's like God says out loud, hello, everybody. Don't listen to me, Acha, because I'm not talking to you. Hello, everybody. Please come and repent, right? So Acha takes that at face value. Oh, I'm not invited to repent. And it's just the opposite. It's God is trying to find a way through to Acha. Except for Acher. In other words, God's saying, I can't really say anything to you because you're shutting me out, but I want you to know that I'm excluding you because, you know, so that's the same as being included, right? I can't in all conscience be that quiet voice inside him that says, Vigaistu, what are you doing? But on the other hand, I don't want to leave him out there, so I'll make like a public announcement in which I name him. If he stops to think about what I'm saying, so obviously, if if Acher gets the message, good, fine. And then the Abtus says, "Kumekein Romas LaHashem Yisborach LaAcher SheYovin Kavanos." God was trying to hint so strongly to Acher that I mean it for good. I don't really mean that you're excluded. Because nothing stands in the way of tshuva. And everything can be sweetened and fixed. So I just gave you the precy of this Oyev Yisrael's Torah. So it's in a sense, this is a mirror image of what we were saying before. You know, when a person says to himself, why don't I feel amiss? Why don't I really want to stop doing this bad thing? And then he says, oh yeah, I wish I did. I wish I really did regret it. Well, the truth is I don't really want to regret it, but I wish I was somebody, the kind of person who, oh, get truthful, get honest, you don't really want to be that kind of person. But I wish I wanted to be that kind of person. That is very similar to the process that the Abter Rov is talking about with Acher, Elisha ben Avur, that he had reached the stage where his conscience wasn't pricking him anymore. And instead of saying, well, that means I can't do tshuva anymore, he was supposed to say, I wonder why I don't get the pricks of conscience anymore. I wonder why I'm aware that I don't get the pricks of conscience. See, already being aware that I'm not aware is already an awareness, right? The true darkness comes when you're no longer aware that you're no longer aware. So finally, before the Mishnah, the short paragraph before the Mishnah, we say, "Ubenefesh yeshnam gimel musogim." In the soul, there are three concepts, conceptual ideas, slightly different from one another. There's the idea of nefesh, the zocha nekeva, the male and the female person, and then nefesh, we also mean machshava, thought is the mind, and then there's nefesh, which is the chius, the life force, which we call the heart. So the Mishnah says, Sholosh Imois Aleph Mem Shin Benefesh. There are three mothers letters, the letters Aleph Mem Shin in the Nefesh, as there was in the Oilam and the Shona. In the Nefesh, it's the Rosh Beten Ugvir, the head, the stomach, the abdomen, and the thorax, the chest. Rosh, the head, Nivra Me'esh, is made of fire, change. Beten, the stomach, Mimayim, of water, desire, ugvir, and the thorax, the chest, meruach, of air, machriya b'neim, tips the balance between them. Note 53, sholosh imois, pirish. The three mothers, what do we mean? Ois on sholosh imois, shomanu le'el b'mishnah beis. Those three mother letters, about which we said in the second mishnah of the chapter, shemehen nivra hakol, everything is created from them. Yesh lehem techuno, she'enem rak oisius nechtovois b'chsav. They're not just three letters, three symbolic glyphs that we use for writing. Ve'enem rak musogem kimo ima shebehen soidois mistorois shasidus letzeis lechutz. And they're not just sort of secret, mysterious concepts out of which other things are going to be born. That's why we use the word mother to represent the idea that there are mysteries here. Elo, hein atzmon, these letters themselves, moifias b'chol odom, they actually manifest themselves in our physical corpus, in our bodies, in our nefesh, note 54, in our soul. What does it mean? What does the word nefesh mean? Yesh kamo v'kamo deus b'pirsh milazu. And as many wise men and women, as you will find, that's how many opinions you will find of what the word nefesh means. And after all the words are over, the word's still as mysterious as it ever was. And man is no better than beast. Why? In the story of Genesis itself, in the very first chapter, we find the word nefesh applied to animals and to reptiles and all kinds of creatures that we would not consider to have a soul. So why we've got Olam Nefesh Shono. If this nefesh is this psyche, you know, where does a cockroach, you know, like what is the psyche? How could, what is it for? What does it say about nefesh that it seems to be such a ubiquitous word? There are those who say that the word nefesh actually means freedom. And in that sense, I can understand why it would be applicable to all living things. In the Ksav HaKabbalah, he says, Yesh b'milas nefesh gam kein amuven inin acheres v'hachofshius lefi habechira v'horotzen. Because the meaning of nefesh is actually applied to anything that has choice. A tree does not have a choice. The water that falls, that's the water that the tree drinks, right? There's no such thing as a tree turning its roots, you know, and saying, I'm not drinking this water. If it's in the ground, it gets absorbed into the roots. You know, but if the water is poisonous, right, then the tree is going to absorb the poisonous water. A cow, an ox, or whatever, even, I mean, you only have to turn on the light when the cockroach is there and see the cockroach scuttling for the darkness to see that there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of freedoms that the cockroach enjoys. When it talks about the captive woman, and if the soldier doesn't want to marry her, it says v'sholcho lenafsho. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says, so the word nefesh there means free. He sends her free. When Avraham wants to buy the Maros HaMachpelah, and people there, the Bnei Ches, they ask him, what do you want? He says, v'im yeshes nafshechem likvor es mezi. If you really desire to help me and you want me to be able to bury my dead, so the word nafshechem again is choice and desire. Lesa yisora benafshe, and another example is to bind his princes at his pleasure. Meaning kechefter ritzonis, so the word nefesh has this idea of wanting, of desire and choosing. And Rashi also there when Avraham Avinu comes to the Bnei Ches and in Chevron and he says im yeshes nafshechem, Rashi says ritzonchem. Nafshechem means rotzonchem, your desire. So I guess if something is capable of experiencing any kind of desire, then that thing has a nefesh. And that's how the word nefesh is used here in Sefer Yetzirah. So Rosh, the head, is fire. And with what we said in the beginning of the very first chapter, that there are three kinds of desire. Rosh hayna harotzen b'moichei b'datim achshavtoi. The fact that we are also capable of desires in the mind, intellectual desires, harotzen nahagis b'divrei Torah. You know, when you want to solve a problem, let's say an intellectual problem, where you say, I'm faced with a Hebrew word, and I really want to understand that word in English, right? That is a harotzen in the mind. And then there's the beten, which was from water. And with what we said there at the beginning of chapter 1, we can understand what it means to have desire in the kishkas, in the viscera, like thirst, which is the desire to drink. And then there's the rotzen in the gevir, in the thorax, in the heart. So let's have a look at the word gevir and see where it comes from. So the very first time we find the word gevir is when the Egyptians come to Yosef during the famine. And they say to him, you know, we've paid all our taxes, we don't have any food because it's all been eaten. Lo nishal lifnei adoini, there's nothing that we have left. Bilti es gevir seinu, we only have our body. What does it mean, gevir? It doesn't say guf, they don't say guf. A guf b'li roish is called a gevir, as we find a dismembered body is called a gevir. As we find with Shaul, it says the Philistines, they took his head and they put it in the wall, and his body they nailed up on the wall there. So a gevir is a head without a a body without a head. It's interesting that we find in the Gemara, Acherim Oimrim, there's, you know, if a person doesn't really have time to daven, what should they say? So the Gemara says, Acherim Oimrim, Tzorchi Amcho Yisroel Merubim, Rabbeinu Shalom, Master of the Universe, the needs of your people Israel are manifold. Vidatum Kitsura, and they don't have enough mind to really sort things out for themselves. Yihirotzim Ufinecho Hashem Elekeinu, may it be your will, God. Shetitin Ekol Echot Ve'Echot Kedei Panasosa, you give everybody as much as he needs to live. Ulechol Gevio Ugevio De Machsoira, and you give each Gevio as much as it needs. Baruch Ata Hashem Shemet Tefillah. So it's really, if you boil the whole Shemoin Esra down, it's like Shemet Tefillah, Baruch Ata Hashem Shemet Tefillah. Omer Avuna Halochik Acherim, so the Gemara paskins that the Halochik is like Acherim. So the thing is, it's very interesting. We know B'tzirif HaYidiyah Shekeshehoi Reb Meir Oimed Dvorav B'Shem Elisha Ben Avuya, when Reb Meir was saying over Torah in the name of his Rebbe, Elisha Ben Avuya, who we talked about, who's called Acher, right? He's the apostate. He always says, Acherim Oimrim, others say, because it was really referring to Acher. So how come it was Acher who uses, the only time the word Gevir is really used in the Gemara is in this little prayer that Acher put together. Rabbeinu Shem, give every Gevir what it needs. But we've said that the word Gevir means a headless trunk. Ochen Elisha ben Avui kore lo'odam Gevir mishum mum ba'atzma. He calls a human being a Gevir because of himself, of what he's, because nikta roshay, because it was he who severed his own head from his heart. He didn't know how to connect his emotions and his emotional responses with his intellectual responses. Lass is teshuva, to be able to do tshuva, because that's what you have to be able to do that. And if you look at the Perek Rishon there, we looked in the preface to the first chapter, the first Mishnah, we talked about Ruach Begvira, that Begvira, the breath in the body is a metaphor for the desire for emotional and spiritual things, concepts or levels. A person, you know, a person wants to love and a person wants to worship. Those are called Rotzon Begvir. I'm not sure we have time to finish here. Yeah, let's finish. Roish Nivra Me'esh, the head is from fire. Ki Ika HaChidosh Ba'olam, because all new things in the world, they come from fire. What does it mean? They come from the mind, right? All the great changes that occur in the world of human beings are intellectual changes. As we said when we talked about the reason that Chava, our mother, who represents Esh, the letter Shin, how she came to be the one to eat from the tree of knowledge, because she's the one who impels changes. Because the element of fire is the one that pushes changes all the time, and it forces things to change. And that's the whole meaning of the element of fire, not something that consumes, but something that engenders change. And that's the bechina of the nekeva, that is the feminine principle, which is change and development and evolution, the future. Because it's impossible to envision a future without changes. You can't prevent changes. Beten mimayim, the stomach is from water. We said that the water is the desire for stasis and unchanging, and that's the male principle, and that's where all the really basic desires are felt. The most basic of all desires, of course, is thirst, because that's the very first thing a child feels, is thirst. That's the very first physical sensation of desire, is the desire for water. And so all desires are the metaphor for water. And finally, gevir machria, the air, which is the thorax, the heart. Leva od machria shnei afechim nikavzchus. The heart can force both the fire and the water. It can force all kinds of things to one direction or another. Now that's all.